something went on here and something went on there.
This time on TNT.
Chair is stones alone.
We play a new game, Assets.
And acapella karaoke. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
You're the only one to get me.
Hey, Jer.
What?
Not the first time you opened for the Stones, eh, bud?
Oh, I got the kidney stones,
oh,
bud.
Oh, man.
They ripped my... Well, the kidneys didn't get ripped a lot. They got some scratches and some tears.
How do you know that?
Well, because of the little hooksy. The little sharp edge that was on the stone is what causes all the pain in the whole deal. If it was just a round with no edges, it would go through no problem.
Are you making that up, or that's what they told you?
No, that's the pain. Is it when it's scratching along the inner lining of your kidneys and all throughout wherever it's going, that's the pain.
Okay, so let's start at the start.
It's inflammation. It's last small cuts. That's why you get blood in your urine, but not too much. It's just in small amounts because it scratches of the inner lining of your lower abdomen and your kidneys.
Of your whatnot?
It's a sad, but I'll tell you, that's pain right there.
That's pain right there. So let's start at the start. We were in Toronto. I was there. We had booked 2 days in the studio to work on our record.
Yeah, Aaron
First
Goldstein's
day,
place. Good
the
spot.
Best. Yeah.
Yeah. Great times.
Really productive, really fun. That
we
night, we just
day.
Go out for a low-key dinner at Jack Astor's.
Yep. Go
on the
to
way
bed.
Home, your tummy's not feeling 100%.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, things are a little bit weird.
And then you were up all night.
Go to sleep. And within, I don't know, 20 minutes, I'm like, eyes wide open and looking, just feeling the side of my body. What's happening? What's going on? And for the next, that whole night, I was just tossing and turning, going up to the bathroom, tossing and turning. And it was this burning pain in my side that just wouldn't stop. It just kept going. And in the morning, I hadn't slept. I'd been awake all night, just kind of back and forth from the bathroom, just trying to pee, trying to do anything, thinking that there was gas or thinking that there was something going on in my stomach. And
full disclosure, it had nothing to do with Jack Astor's.
Yeah, no, you were a bod and went in the morning because I was like, I don't know what's going on. I haven't slept all night. I'm not feeling great. And it was like, instead of going in at 10 o'clock in the morning, you were like, well, I'll go in and start on something and just get some rest. So I got up at like 11:30 or something like that. Thought I was feeling a little better. Got my stuff on, went over to the studio. We got through some ideas. I would play a little bit of drums and then lie down on the couch and play a little drums. I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. This has been a long time. Anybody know anything about so I started thinking appendix. Maybe it was my appendix was gonna go. So we were close to a hospital, but I decided just to go home, and I went to sleep, and I woke up, and it was, you know, really bad in the morning again. I took an Advil, and it kind of lessened a tiny, tiny bit, but then it really started getting strong, and Lisa's like, we're going to the hospital. So she took me to Sunnybrook and went right to Emerge. She dropped me off because she had to go up and get the kids before, in the afternoon early for school.
So you're rolling solo.
Rolling solo and Emerge, and the pain got to the point where I couldn't sit down anymore. I had to stand, so I'm standing, and they took me in and took some blood, and their first diagnosis was appendix possibility, like appendicitis.
Lower right?
Yeah, right? Lower right side on the side and towards the back as well. And so they sent me to get an ultrasound. This had been a few hours now I've been in Emerge, and at this point the pain was getting more and more extreme, and I couldn't sit down, and I was like, guys, you gotta give me something here. And they're like, well, you're in bad pain. So they gave me morphine, and they gave me I had an IV, I had everything dialed, ready to go for whatever the problem was for the ultrasound and checking myself out. So they put it in there, and nothing, I didn't feel anything. And I was like, hey, you got to put something more in there. So they put in more I think it was ended up being 4 milligrams. Still, I didn't feel anything. And they're like, all right, we're time for your ultrasound. I'm like, okay. So far, the pain was getting worse and worse. And I didn't felt any difference at all from 4 milligrams of morphine. I'm sitting in the ultrasound, they thinking, if it's appendicitis, it feels like it's getting worse. And usually if it's been almost 24 hours with appendicitis, you think it's going to rupture, right? Like, that's how people die.
And so that's bad really, as bears, yeah.
Yeah, I was really kind of feeling like that was the issue while I was waiting in the hallway with other people moaning around me. Like, there was just so many people in bad situations. That it's
like,
it's,
what, by the way, what were most of them like? Any gunshot wounds or people with limbs dangling or industrial accidents?
No, just pain, like, probably patients of some, like, had operations or something, or they came in with some kind of sickness or something.
But a lot of moaners? Like, a lot of, like, yeah.
Yes, yeah, for sure. One older gentleman passed away while I was lying there.
Oh, man.
Another one seemed, what looked to me, to go into cardiac arrest. So, you know, with doctors running in there. So, like, just constant. The Sunnybrook doctors are incredible. I can't imagine what they have to go through every single day. But they perform amazing things like it's nothing all
nurses
the time.
Nurses, too. Imagine after
every single
shift,
everybody.
You must just be like, what even happened? Putting out so many fires and dealing with so much trauma and grief and anguish and turmoil.
So I went into the ultrasound finally, and she checked me out and realized, hey, there's a stone in there. So I found out it's not appendicitis, thankfully, but it's a kidney stone, and it was still there, passing through the kidneys, about to go to the bladder.
Which is better, though? Would any part of you have been relieved if it was appendicitis? Because then, all right, well, we know what it is.
It's coming out.
They just go in again and it's done. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. At that point, honestly, in my head, I was like, I guess I was relieved because I didn't want to go through surgery, obviously, comparatively. But the pain was really severe still. So I was like, okay, that's awful. Or that's great that it is what it is. But now I just have to kind of get back to the other area so I can get some... back to some meds, because that was my only concern at that point. And once they finally got me back, and 20 minutes feels like 2 hours.
Oh.
So I don't know what it was. It was probably waiting there for 30 minutes maybe, on the stretcher, kind of hanging out, but in severe pain. So it felt like 3 days. And so I got back and they put some, Dilaudid in there, some hydromorphine.
That's finally the stuff.
Took the edge off, and then they just kind of kept giving me that every 30 minutes or not every hour, and that kind of, I finally was able to relax without having to kind of double myself over.
That's what I had when I broke my femur, and that was the stuff that was like this beautiful dream, right?
Well, that takes
the edge off pretty quick.
Yeah, there was no beautiful dream. It just was not... painful anymore. So just having no pain was like, I don't have any pain. I kind of got a little bit foggy because, you know, they let me go home and they gave me more, and I was like predicting and expecting that it was going to hurt on that exit, the final release, like, because people said, I've heard some people say no, I've heard some people say that does hurt. So it turns out that I was preparing for nothing. It didn't hurt at all. So it went all flushed out.
They gave you Dilaudid to take home?
Yeah.
They did? In what? Yeah. Pill form?
Well, because it was still hurting a little bit, but it had passed through to the bladder. So they gave it, I guess I was preparing for, because some friends of mine were like, yeah, it's going to hurt, man, when you're doing that. When you piss it out, it's going to be pain. So
I think it depends on the size of it, right?
Yeah, it wasn't big enough, and the doctor said it was passable, but I still didn't know if that meant, so I was preparing for the worst. So, but at that point, I felt the fogginess of the drug, and I passed it and stopped taking it, but it's been probably 4 or 5 days now since I stopped taking it. I can still feel a little cloudy from it. Obviously, there's inflammation in my stomach and stuff like that. I haven't been full energy, but I still feel like, man, that stuff takes a lot out of you. That drug, it's hardcore.
Well, and also you were probably kind of clenched, and takes energy, and your muscles would be sore and stuff, and you were missing sleep, and you have to catch up on all that stuff. It's quite traumatic. But the thing that I remember is, because you remember I had it in San Diego, and I was like, I don't think I can fly home. And then I woke up the next morning and was like, oh, I think I can.
Yeah.
And then the day that I got home, the pain was back and it was worse than ever and it was back with a vengeance. It's when it's making its way from the kidney to the bladder, that's the huge pain. And from what I gather, generally, that's the passing of it is kind of the least of your worries.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure if it's the size of a corn kernel, you know what I mean? Then you're talking about some extra pain. That's a whole different thing.
If it's the size of a nerd, you're probably okay.
Yeah. If it's the size of a marble, that's going to really hurt.
And if it's the size of a peppercorn, that would probably hurt too.
That would hurt it. Or if it's the size of some coral shrapnel.
Well, that's the thing. To your point, it's not always perfectly round, right?
Mine had like a hook on one end and a little tooth on the back.
It was like the Russian flag?
Yeah.
The last thing I remember them saying to me at the hospital was either we'll go in for it or you can find a way to get it out. It's up to you. And I was like, okay, bye now. I'm out of here. But the passing of it was very
They blasted yours?
No.
Oh, no.
No, but they offered to, and we've heard from buds that said they had someone go in to get it.
You had a pair, though, didn't you? Or did it break up in your bladder?
I feel like it might have broken.
Yeah, they can break up in your bladder once it goes from...
Right, which is probably the body trying its best to, like, help a bud out, right?
Exactly, get the smashers on it.
Oof. But I've obviously never given birth, and I wouldn't claim that this is as painful as giving birth, having witnessed how those miracles happen.
Yeah.
But I think for dudes, that's got to be right up there for the most consistent pain. Well,
a couple women did say it was as bad.
Really?
Yeah. And that had passed them, so.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And also, I remember the nurse would be like, hey, I'm just going to go get some meds. And you're like, okay, but how long is that going to take? Like,
man.
I don't think I can
make it
3 more minutes.
Yeah, it's like being at a bar when you know, like, you're not going to see the waiter for another 20 minutes. So you're like, oh, my God. Well, that means, like, whatever I have in front of me is the last thing I'm going to see for the next 20 minutes.
Right.
So, yeah, you definitely have to order more.
Folks at Sunnybrook were awesome, though. Really
fantastic.
Helpful.
Yeah, recommend them to everybody. They saved my wife Lisa's mom's life. I mean, they did the surgery on her spine that saved her life, and the people there are the best there are, and great personalities, just dealing with issues every single day. And
it takes a special kind of person, man.
Yeah, it's a high. Like, that is the fast lane of fast lanes, being in that room.
And setting aside your, you know, devastation at some of the heinous things that you have to see. Like, I'm sure you've heard by now about the 4-year-old gal in Yarmouth who died at a Santa Claus parade.
Oh, I know. Yes. Yeah.
And sometimes you hear something like that and think, there just are no words for how heinous that is and how many people will be affected for generations by witnessing that or being her family member or whatever. So your heart just goes out to them. It's beyond.
Every time.
But as Carol said this morning, like, imagine Christmas for them for the rest of their lives. Christmas is ruined and associated with this terrible thing. Anyway, it's another reminder to be thankful for every day you have on this side of the grass.
It is.
And, you know, it really gives perspective on what's a big deal and what is it.
Sheesh.
And especially like seasickness, once you pass it, you're back to yourself, right?
Yeah, no.
Like, aside from being a little tired, you're like, what day is it, boy?
Yeah, I do feel a little bit like sleep. You know, you slept 4 hours all the time, but I'll be right there. I'm almost there. Yesterday, it was still a bit kind of like, what's going on? But today, I'm like, all right, I'm seeing the
silver lining.
The lights.
So were the kids sympathetic and Lisa and everybody?
Yeah, like, everybody's.
Did you get some extra loving?
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Poor dad been through the ringer.
Like I said, they took care of me. Good stuff there at the Sunnybrook. It was good times.
Good. And not to mention ice our chips, 2 days of jammery.
The ice chips were fantastic. Oh, the 2 days of jams. We got some
super
good ones.
Fun.
Yeah. We're on the ball is rolling.
It is.
We can't wait to get back together and finish some more of these songs and get this record out for y'all buds.
It's really fun. And I found this with the book too, to use a totally different series of muscles that are sort of related, but entirely different. Like, mm-hmm. I've never done that before. You obviously have. And when you were saying beforehand, you know, just kind of come in with ideas and grooves. I'm such a word guy that I'm like, I don't really know what ideas and grooves are. But I know what's a funny joke with words because those are the tools that I have used.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to see you in your element. And not only drumming, which is a real treat, but also your ear as a producer and to watch how you take a half-baked notion and build it into something that is full and lush and complete. Like, what a privilege to get to witness that.
Cool.
And I think I also kind of was starting to get the hang of it, like how the process works. And that's really fun.
Yeah, and I'm glad that's the best part is kind of sharing that world with you and getting you into it, because I know that you'll kind of appreciate it, especially with the girls that are starting to play and you have instruments in your basement, so you can kind of start to do this too with them, right? That's the best part. And to get them into it, and like you said, because conceptually when you talk about what writing a song or come in with some ideas, it's like if you don't, that's like, you know, saying to a person who doesn't know how to write a script or ideas, like come in with some storylines on some of your people. When it's like,
yeah,
what? What do you mean? I have some ideas of it, but no, like it's so specific in your mind. But then when you get there, it's like, no, it doesn't have to be this big, huge thing where you have to get the personality of someone. It really is just the ball rolling on something simple. And it could be something rhythmic, it could be something tonally interesting, but if it has a repetitive feel that is kind of receptive and gives you a good feeling, that's music and that's what it's all about. You know, once you get the ball going there, it really becomes a connection to something really healthy, you know?
Like, you know when you say to someone like, so what have you been up to lately? Oh, I'm just trying to keep it real. You're like, oh, okay, but what have you actively been doing with your life? I'm just trying to keep it real, you know what I'm saying? Or when someone says,
keeping it real.
So what do you do? I'm a consultant. Okay, so what is that? Well, I consult on things. Okay, so when you go to work, what do you actually do? Like, what does a consultant do? I thought, like, ideas and notions was kind of abstract in that same way, but it is literally just that. Come in with even a lick or something.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're like, what bass line would sound good with it? And what piano would sound good over that? And what's the groove?
Well, I mean, people would be surprised how simple an idea of some of the greatest songs in history are. Something that's like two or three notes. And it's like, what, that's all it is? And it's like, yeah, basically. It's just like that's kind of pulled out a little bit and massaged and kind of elongated. But that's the best ideas are the ones where you can kind of like tap your foot to and be 5 years old and get it, you know?
The earwormiest.
Yeah.
I've probably said this before. I remember Snow saying that the best songs are like nursery rhymes. And it's true. I always imagine when I can hear a good song, I imagine the 45 going around in a circle on a record player. And I think for some reason, those are the jams that always end up sticking with you. If you can picture the actual record, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah. And I think rhythm is, and it has a lot to do with it too, like making you want to move and just the spirit of the movement that music can give you. That's important to what we're doing on this record as well. It's a lot of lot of rhythm in this thing.
Was it
Bono when he put out the pop album ever? This album has hips.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's always got some stupid.
This is the interesting
thing. That's actually
thing.
Pretty funny saying that.
This is the interesting thing about our record, though. In a way, some of the songs are parodies of certain genres that you would expect.
Yeah.
You would expect Commander Donnie, Okay Guys, would have like an EDM kind of jam.
Yeah.
You'd expect there might be a country jam. And those should sound like things that people are kind of familiar with to a degree.
Yeah.
But then with some of the things that you brought in, it's like, this is actually a great song. So maybe it's not a parody. Maybe it's just a great song.
Sometimes it's just a jam that's got to do with the waving the flag of the idea of the character itself being, you know, like, honestly, like, we've got this jam that's Donovan's doing. It's really kind of got it's a cool vibe. It's
a banger.
It's a total, like, a classic 70s rock style jam that will be fun to play, actually.
Super fun.
Hey!
And
look at the time.
But shouts to Aaron Goldstein first.
Yeah.
For having us into his studio and just being a bud and really getting the sentiment behind it. And also, major multi-instrumentalist guy, like doing steel guitar riffs on some of our songs and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
I recommend Baldwin Street Sound to any bods if they are looking for a place to record. It's a great spot.
Hey, it's time to take a break, but first, Gan
Gokes.
Gan Gokes.
But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my next check, and I'm going to go to Money Mart, and I'm going to get her cashed, because the CNE's coming up soon. I want to have money for that. No, it's not funny. I'm just living check to check right now. I don't even know where you get money, Laramie. Where's your money come from? Why are you laughing?
Blair can't wait to play our new game.
We're going to play Assets.
Assets!
And it's like on the darts, like this is purely speculative.
Yeah.
And we don't know, but we're going to give each other names of famous Canadians.
This is something we would probably play, you know, over dinner. Or
like
just
we're actually driving?
Like if we're driving, you know, to pass some time.
Between assets. Regina and Calgary? Let's play Assets.
Let's play Assets, okay?
All right, I'm going to give
you
somebody.
All right.
Okay, this is an interesting one. Let's say Gino Retta.
Gino Retta.
Yeah. Assets.
Gino Retta.
Well, first, let's review. He's been at TSN for 30 years.
30 years, right? And he's been an employee at TSN for 30 years.
Yeah. So he probably has benefits and he's
probably got
into retirement.
He's probably got a senior, a senior salary there.
Yep.
And
Gino Retta, Assets.
He's cruising around. Okay, Assets. I'm going to say he's he's got a nice four-bedroom house.
Where?
In Don Mills.
Paid off?
I think so, yeah.
Close,
had it for a while, or it's like the redone newer place that he puts him into with a small mortgage, maybe?
Yeah.
He's got a car, a couple cars.
Yeah. Like what?
Like a couple, you know, he's got an Audi and then like a Prius.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe one of those trucks, the Audi truck.
Yeah.
And then he's got a truck. He's probably got some cash in the bank, I'm going to say. Probably maybe 700, maybe?
In cash, really?
like in his savings, in his, you know, RSPs and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe more than that. Maybe he's like,
and does that count like investments that count like everything?
maybe he's got a milli five all in with all the whatnot.
I mean,
right? He's 30 years. Like, I'm sure he's living pretty good. He's going and flying around, taking vacation. he's gonna be like, man, you guys don't know anything. Okay.
What do you
think? So that's my guess.
Do you think you're guessing him low? Or do you think you're guessing them high?
No, well, I'm saying he's got $1.5 million and stuff, but he's got the house too. So that's, the house is probably worth a couple million, maybe.
Okay.
So yeah.
4-bedroom house in Don Mills. Worth $2 million. But you know what? He bought it when it was $635.
Yeah. Or so maybe he's doing less. High. Yeah. He's fine.
Oh, he's doing great.
Yeah, he's doing great. Okay, you ready for yours?
Mm-hmm.
Kim Coates, assets.
Oh, boy.
Kim Coates, well, he lives out, does he live on the Rock?
Well, why don't you, yeah, frame it up for me. Tee it up for me. What's he been on? How much does he make?
Well, where does he live? You know more than I do.
I don't know that. I don't think he lives on the Rock, does
he?
You know, there are websites that say net worth. I'm not going to do it.
Is he from the Rock or not?
He lives in L.A.
Where's
he
from?
He's been married to Diana Coates since 1984.
Where is he from?
Stand by.
I thought he was from out east.
He's Stratford. He's 60 years old.
Oh, Stratford?
Yeah, he's born in Saskatoon.
Saskatoon. Oh, geez. Where did I get the East Coast? Maybe I was thinking Alan Hocko, I think, somehow.
I don't know. But he's in Bad Blood, right?
Isn't he in, like, Walking Dead or one of those shows?
I thought he was in the motorbike one.
What's that one called?
You know, Sons of Anarchy. Guys,
that's right, the one.
Yeah, so he did Sons of Anarchy. Now he's in Bad Blood, which they shoot in Sudbury. Mark Montefiore produces Bad Blood, the guy who produces Letterkenny.
Okay, so you know, you got this. I love this.
Bad Blood is on.
He's researching for
this. Wheels are turning. Bad Blood is just picked up on Netflix, but that wouldn't necessarily benefit him. But I think they probably had to pay him some big dough to get him to Sudbury.
Did you do the IMDb already? So like,
no,
already,
oh, no, I didn't, because I don't want to be swayed.
You already know. You know most of his career.
I know this from Sarah Wayne Callies, who played my wife on Letterkenny, was in Walking Dead, and she was also in Prison Break. And I know if you're on a niche show like Kim Coates was, Sons of Anarchy, you can do a lot of those, like, fan expo kind of deals.
Oh, yeah.
And I think those are sneaky lucrative.
Yeah. You can get, like, a 15, 20 grand for a day there.
Oh, yeah, more.
50.
If you're on one of those, like,
if you're on one of those
Sons of Anarchy style shows,
yikes. More. Or, like, a Vikings or something. Yeah, you can make, like, a 300 or so, a million bucks.
You can also, like, get on that European circuit if you do that.
There's
a whole
other one?
The races, yeah.
Circuit.
So I'm gonna say Kim.
Like, imagine being the guy, like the I guess the guys that are big in those shows don't do those things. I mean, I guess if they do, they're getting insane amounts of money, like Game of Thrones people or something.
Oh, insane.
Yeah.
I was talking to this gal that I work with named Kelly, who was visiting Ireland a few years ago, and she went to this bar where they play board games. And there was this group of people at a table, and they were playing, can't remember what it was, Game of Life or something. She loves Game of Life. And she went over and said, oh, I love Game of Life. Can I play with you guys? So she got to the chatting and said, you know, what are you guys doing here? Because they had American accents, some of them. And it turns out it was the cast of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And they let her play with them because she didn't know who they were. Okay. Kim Coates. Kim Coates has a 3-bedroom Craftsman-style bungalow in Las Feliz. It's worth...
That's the best. That's awesome.
It's worth $1.8 million, and he owes $800 on it. He also has 2 Harleys. One was gifted to him when he wrapped Sons of Anarchy Season 1 by the network. But the other one he bought.
Okay.
So that's worth, let's say, $30 million.
Yeah, he's got cars too, right?
He probably has some like a Lincoln Navigator.
Yeah, for sure.
Or a Butch
Escalade
kind of truck.
Maybe.
Yeah,
Escalade.
Yeah, he might have a Sclade, but I'm gonna say he's more like he has a GM 2500 truck, but it's dialed, like really nice rims. And
oh yeah,
nice
yeah.
Interior and stuff.
Or like a heavy duty done up Jeep or something.
Yeah, so it's a truck, but he still wants you to know, you know. I think he probably has a condo in Toronto.
Yeah.
That's around 1.2.
bought it for $7 or $6.
Yep, but Airbnbs it when he's not there because he doesn't really care about that stuff. It's just stuff. I don't think he has a car in Toronto. He just takes oopsies when he's there. Because it's a pain in the ass to have a car there, too.
And he gets smokes in the oopsies?
Yeah. Yeah. Uber S. It's for smoking. Uber D. It's for darts. I'm taking an Uber D to Ajax.
Darts. If it's like darts... Because it's like windows up, darts, going from downtown out to the Oshawa.
It's an Uber WUD, windows up, darts.
Come on, man. Nice. Come on, it's minus 20 outside. I'm not closing the window.
So he also has, Coatsy bought a piece of land in Wyoming. For $225,000, it's 80 acres, and he's thinking of someday building a ranch there. He cashed in his ACTRA RSPs to buy the piece of land before Sons of Anarchy, and he's just slowly kind of building his portfolio back up. He's also 1/8 owner of a craft brewery in Venice.
That's pretty good. So all in, that's not bad. That's like...
Oh, he's doing fine.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, I have to give you somebody.
This is 4 or 5 milsy. All in? 6,
okay,
maybe?
Here's one. Oh, 6 milsy. That's doing great.
I know, it's awesome. I love assets.
Here's one for you.
Okay.
Evangeline Lilly.
I don't even know who
she's
that
Canadian,
is.
She's Canadian, but she was on Lost. She did like 3 seasons of Lost, and then not a whole lot since.
Okay, so she was in for Lost, but like Lost was one of those ones where you could have been picked up for nothing, right?
Yeah, yeah, because so, that was her big break.
But by the end, she was probably making like $100,000 an episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably close to that at the start.
Yeah, okay, so... Second, first up.
Are you doing the math?
Well, I have to. Yeah, I don't know who it is really. So she's probably got $1.2 million condo in the city, but she bought it for $5.5 million.
In Los Angeles?
In Toronto.
Or Toronto, okay.
And she has she rents a place in LA.
Yeah, because it's a write off.
Yeah, for like $2,000 a month in Silver Lake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she has a Yaris, like one of those electric cars, a Leaf.
Yeah.
The Leaf that actually she got for like some commercial campaign. And she's probably got some other appearance cash. Oh, Lost. They were on the... You probably get
the
circuit.
Yeah, they were on that circuit,
you
too.
You get the circuit, right? Ooh, that could change the whole thing here.
I know.
Because that circuit could pay you an extra, like, few $100,000 a year that wasn't there at all. yeah, the circuit's... She's probably doing the circuit. So she might have a place in L.A., too, that's worth a milsy.
Yeah.
So two places... And she's doing fine.
She's doing fine.
Yeah, she's worth like 3 milsy all in.
She doesn't want for anything.
Oh.
She might have bought a place in Hawaii when they were shooting there.
Because
I think some of the maths did.
Hawaii's expensive, boy.
Yeah.
$15 for milk? No thanks.
Okay, give me someone else. This is fun.
Okay. Steve Anthony. Assets. He's had a long and storied career, and he just retired, didn't he?
Did he?
I think so, yeah. Kind of, seemingly, yeah.
My hope is that, because, I mean, look, he's been on TV for 30 years in this country. Yeah. My hope is that before Toronto exploded, he not only bought the house he was renting, but he bought the house next door too. So if he bought them for like high twos and now they're worth mid eights, he's doing great.
Okay.
My wish for Steve Anthony is that he owns these two houses outright. He lives on the top of one, Airbnb's the bottom of one, and has long-term tenants next door.
I love the Airbnb part.
I know. So he has the steady, but he also has the people are going to pay a premium, but it's less of a guarantee. Because I think he still likes to party and roll the dice a bit. It's close to work. It's probably on, is it Beverly Street? Like he lives over kind of in there.
Oh, yeah?
And I think, I don't know if he's a bought a place up north guy or not.
I think he does have a cottage with his wife.
I was going to say, I bet with his two siblings,
no,
they took over the family house that was a cottage. And he owns a third of a family kind of cottagey, housey, farmhouse thing up north.
Just kind of rolling, just cruising then. Just all set.
But I don't think he has a lot in the bank. I think he probably spends it quite a bit.
You think he likes to rip it up with the spending?
Well, like with the shirts and the shoes and the dinners out. Like if you live down there, you're eating out every night.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's the sneaky line on your budget that'll bust you.
Okay, who's my next one?
Okay. Oh, who is it? Doug Gilmore.
Wow. Those guys always have sneaky cash. And talk about the circuit. Doug Gilmore
is on the
big time circuit. Like the signing circuit and the... Ooh, that's... He was making millions when he was playing.
I know.
So he's all set. I never heard a sniff about gambling issues or anything with him.
No.
I don't think there's any...
But he'll still do a commercial that might surprise you to see him in, right?
Hey, man, they'll probably say 50 grand, here you go, show up. And he's like, okay, I'll be there.
Wouldn't it have to be more than that, though?
I don't know, maybe. 50 grand for 10 minutes? Like the Ty Domi commercial with that cable ad?
Well, I wonder about those, like the Ty Domi ones, the Mark Messier ones, where they have to drag them to a...
Well, I'm sure
that's cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I think that's more of like probably a deal that they have with that company that they're making way more than that, for sure.
Right.
The figurehead move, like the cut you in.
So what is Dougie Gilmore's most surprising asset?
Oh, man, he's got like a couple $1 million cottage up north. He's got a big pad that he lives in, probably in like King City or something like that. That's worth probably five. He's probably got like, you know, few in the bank, depending on, has he been divorced? He was divorced, wasn't he?
Was he? I don't know.
I don't know. I think he might. If he has been, he's got a couple milsy in the bank, but he's all set with the circuit though.
But he has a jet boat.
Oh yeah. He's got all kinds of toys.
And he has a pontoon boat up at the lake.
It's loaded with all that stuff. Yeah. He's got a couple, a Suburban. He's got probably, like you said, a souped up GMC Styles.
Yeah.
Probably a Sclade or two. Probably always rolling in an SUV of some sort.
Sclade or Bud? Does he have someone driving for him?
Nah, I don't think so.
He just shows up?
Yeah. So that's it. Millions. He's all set.
He's all set. Okay, hit me with one.
Lloyd Robertson. That's a long career. There's a lot of cash in the bank.
I remember hearing...
Nick still lives in Toronto.
I don't know if it was true, but I remember hearing... Because people were talking about Mansbridge versus Robertson. And I think because CBC is a public company, Mansbridge made significantly less. And Robertson made significantly more. But I think Mansbridge did fine, from what I gather, and, you know, had some perks and clothing and housing allowance and things
You know what? Why don't you do the double at, like, while you're at it? Let's do both. Mansbridge Lloyd Robertson. Comparables. I love this.
Okay, well, why don't I do one and you do the other?
Yeah. Okay. While you're doing Lloyd, I'll do...
Let's start primary residence.
Mansbridge does the speaking. He gets big bucks for the speaking.
Well, I think now, especially that he doesn't work at CBC, he can.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Lloyd lives in Mississauga.
Does he live in the SOG? Really?
I don't know. I'm guessing. This is all speculation. I'm going to say he has a five-bedroom house.
Hold on a sec, though. If you lived in Toronto your whole life, would you live in Mississauga? No disrespect to Mississauga, but I'm pretty sure he was like...
Well, he strikes me as practical, and he'd want to be close to CTV. So that's just a short blurp down the 401,
no,
right?
No, it's not. That's... No, you're thinking of Scarborough, which would definitely, I doubt he would live in.
I don't think he'd live in Scarbsy.
Because it's right at 404, just east of the 404, and 401 is where
Think Lloyd lives north of the 401?
I think he probably rocks it like Young and Egg around there. Maybe like Oriole Parkway or something like that.
No way. He has a lawn. He has a gazebo.
Those places all have that. They're big pads. He probably had a nice old lot that he's lived in for a long time. That's probably worth a lot now. Just sitting on it. Hey, but I should be doing Peter Mansbridge, who's got a place probably in Forest Hill or something like that. Trying to live up with the big Jones.
Well, I'm going to say, okay, so this is my vision of Lloyd Robertson. Five-bedroom home in Mississauga. It was the place... In 1988.
Come on.
They've done some cosmetic updates, but by and large, he's not a flashy guy.
But he was bringing home big bread up, like, still, not till recent.
I know, but I think he Jay Leno's it, man. I think he just parks it and doesn't spend it.
I think Jay Leno, he parks it in his hangar of 1,000 cars.
I know, but Jay Leno never spent his Tonight Show money. He lived off his corporate money and his stand-up money.
Well, that just shows you how much he was making from that stuff.
I think Lloyd has a cottage, but it's not in Muskoka. It's somewhere in more conservative.
Kawarthas?
Yeah.
Stony
Lake?
And I
think his big expense is like, this is surprising, like he has a collection of globes or something like, he'll pay anything for a globe, but he'll fix the doorbell himself. I think he's that guy.
He's got the plaster casts from that woman who plaster casts all the rock and roll penises.
Yeah, he has that.
He's got the Hendrix penis.
And he has a condo in Key Biscayne.
And here's my Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison apparently were the two largest.
Really?
Yeah, of the plaster...
Of the bird people?
Of the plaster casts.
Jim Morrison had a big bird?
From my memory of what they said about the plaster casts, I think it was like Jimi Hendrix first... And then Jim Morrison.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Jims.
And you'd figured like maybe Mick Fleetwood would be up there, but I don't see him in the top.
Why would you figure that?
Because he's like 7 feet tall.
Oh.
Hey, let's take a break, bud.
I'm going to say Lloyd has a timeshare in West Palm Beach.
Okay, perfect. Let's wrap it up, though. I'm going to say Peter Mansbridge is, like 4 millis.
Just Berlin. Be right back.
I wonder where Jonathan is. It's not like him to be late.
Hey, Jer. Sorry to keep you waiting, man. I'm just having a bit of trouble with my hair.
You change hairdressers again, Bob?
Yes. Not everyone knows what to do with this. I just wish there was a place I could go where you get the same great, consistent haircut every time.
And you probably don't want to spend too much cash.
Well, exactly. Why isn't there a place across Canada with 150 locations where you know you're guaranteed to get the same haircut every time because they store it? And I don't know, maybe it has an app where you can check in online and even start the clock on your wait time. Wouldn't that be great?
There is a place. It's called Great Clips. They sponsor the pod, bud.
Great Clips. Why didn't I think of Great Clips?
Yeah, bud.
Huh. Hey, Scooter? What's wrong, buddy? You can tell me. You can tell the old man.
Nobody picked me again for baseball again.
What did it's I tell you?
It's the fifth recess in a row. I haven't done anything all recess.
You know what, though, bud? I know it doesn't feel very good in your heart right now, but I'll tell you something. Remember what Bette Midler always says? From a distance,
come
right?
Come on, Dad.
From a distance. Yeah.
Oh, come on, Dad.
The world is blue and green. Dad. And the snow-capped mountains white.
Dad.
Right?
No, Dad. Not
that's
not
what she says, though, and she's right.
I know, but not today, man.
You're too
come
close
on,
to it.
Dad. No, I'm not.
From a distance, the ocean meets the stream.
Dad.
You're the ocean. Right? And the eagle takes to flight. That's you. You're going to be the eagle tomorrow.
It's bad enough.
But when
and
you
it's
go,
just...
When you go back
no,
to school,
how's
I want
this...
you to think of yourself as being the little eagle, right? Why do you look sad? From a distance.
Because you do this every time. It's always this song. I don't even know what it is.
Goes through the land. It's all
Dad! That's enough. I hate that song. I don't care anymore.
But if you really pay attention to the words, I think you'll find what you're looking for. Okay, Scooter? Just think about it, buddy.
All right.
Is that the worst parenting possible?
Yeah.
From a distance, Dad?
From a distance, Dad.
You hit me with a from a distance. Do you want to pretend we're office coworkers?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I'm sitting at the cubicle next to you, okay?
Perfect.
Damn it!
Hey, come on, Claude.
What?
Just another day.
Gregory, it isn't. I have this report due by 11 a.m. and Patterson's been up my butt.
Hey, do you know how many times you say that to me a week?
Well, it's a lot. It's because we're in a real pressure cooker here, Gregory.
Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, says you, maybe. You're the boss's pet.
From a distance,
oh,
there
Jesus.
Is harmony. And it echoes through the land.
How am I supposed to concentrate if you're going to be singing that garbage?
And it hopes so like me sweet.
Is that supposed to be making me feel better? Because I think I'm going to barf.
Oh, God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us.
Nice vibrato, Gregory.
From a distance.
You know what?
And there you go. There you go, buddy. There you go.
That did actually make me feel a little bit better. It was a nice break.
Hey, you know what?
Thanks so much.
No problem, buddy.
You're a good egg, Gregory.
Hey, just thinking about you.
Plus, I know you're my secret Santa.
And you know what? I got you too, don't you?
Yeah. Bette Midler CD.
Yeah. And the karaoke one too.
Yeah, so I can practice singing it myself.
Yeah.
Oh, Gregory.
Ah, Claude.
Gregory and Claude.
Now do your do one. You be from a distance guy.
Amanda. You just messed up the order at table number 3. That's the third slip-up you've had today. Is everything going okay?
It's just that's how it is. I'm busy. I got lots of stuff going on. There's a guy bugging me in the back. Salvador's creeped me out.
I'm counting on you, though. I really need you during our busy lunch rush to be able to deliver. So when
Whatever.
It's extra busy, take a second, take a breath, think of the big picture, okay?
I know. Okay, don't worry. There's people around that can hear you right now.
Hey, Amanda.
Don't please.
From
do it.
A distance,
oh my.
The
no.
world is blue.
Oh my God.
And green.
Mister.
And the snow caps.
Please look at everyone's looking at us. Yeah, he's just trying to. He does this.
Amanda, I don't think
Mr.
you were listening.
Mister Shirtlift. Mr. Shirtliff. No, please don't. You're going to lose customers. People are going to leave. They'll leave.
I'm going to do it until you listen laughing. Without interrupting me.
They're not laughing at us.
From a distance, there is harmony, and it echoes through the land.
This is not
the hope of hope.
Let him go.
It's the thing of stuff. It's the heart in every man. Okay? I want you to remember that for me.
That's not only annoying, it's loud too. People are going to start.
Can you remember that for me?
People have left. People are left.
And Amanda, one more thing. God is watching us. God is watching us.
God is watching
us. God is watching us from a distance. Okay? God is watching us. But in this case, I am God, and I am watching you. So no more mess-ups. Got it?
Okay.
How did I forget about From a Distance? And why is it in your head? Did you hear it on the radio?
No, I just sometimes it pops into my head from time to time because during my grandmother's funeral, my aunt played it a couple times.
Wow.
Like, that and Wind Beneath My Wings.
Okay.
My dad was like really upset. He was like, why is this happening right now at the funeral?
Was that his mother?
Yeah. Ronnie's mama.
And he was mad that they played that song?
Well, he just thought like, well, he doesn't remember my grandmother ever playing that music or liking it. It was just kind of the daughter was having a bit of a issue with it, but like kind of took the center stage by picking two jams.
Oh, and making it about her a little bit?
Well, yeah.
What would Ronnie have played?
He was just steaming, though, during that jam, though. So people think about, like, Copperhead Road Mad. I think the From a Distance or Wind Beneath My Wings Ronnie Mad is probably another level. Because it's like trying to keep...
It must have been cold there in my shadow.
Trying to keep it together in a church vibes rage.
With, like, kettle steam coming out of his ears?
Yeah.
Hey... Let's do From a Distance again. Really try. Really, like, imagine this was the tool you had to try to make me feel better. It's like Poem Saying all over again.
Okay.
Okay. How about you're a Boy Scout leader and I'm a Boy Scout and I'm down in the dumps? I guess it could be church camp.
Okay.
Because there's something kind of gaudy about it.
How you doing there? Daniel?
I'm okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, do you know what I did?
What happened?
I had to do a duck dive to get my red swimming badge, and I didn't pass to red, so all my friends have gone on to red, and now they're in canoeing, and I got held back, and I'm with the younger kids, and I feel like an idiot.
You know what, Daniel? It's okay. I mean, you have other badges. I mean, you got...
Says you. I have ironing.
Hold on, and look, vacuuming and sewing, I mean,
yeah.
Those are things.
Yeah, but that's, no one else has those.
Exactly. Nobody else but you, Daniel. That's pretty impressive. Now, hold on a second.
What?
From a distance, the world loses blue and green. And the light hits it on the mountains wide.
Okay.
And from a distance, the ocean is so blue. And the problems you seek aren't around at all.
Okay.
From a distance, you and your family might have problems, but it's not a big deal.
No, we don't, though. We don't even have problems.
I know your daddy always runs to your neighbor's back window. I have heard this many times.
Yeah, he's going to borrow sugar from Mrs. Swanson.
He's not borrowing sugar as you think.
Are those the words?
He's pounding her from dawn till eve. Your dad's having an affair on the reg with 6 out of 7 of your neighbors.
I don't remember that verse.
Yeah. So just...
Wait a sec, he
calm
is?
Calm down. Just understand that...
Are you trying to make me feel better?
Maybe it's just because your dad's busy in the neighborhood that you're kind of upset.
It's like the tone of your voice is supposed to be making me feel better, but the things you're saying aren't.
Well, from a distance, you are a kid.
Do you sing to your kids?
I am very smart, and you'll understand later. Do I sing to my kids?
Yeah.
Imagine? No.
You don't?
If I sang to my kids like that, they'd be laughing. Yeah, maybe if I was joking. If I start doing that to John, he'll, like, get mad.
He'll say, like, stop. Please,
like,
stop.
Like, Dad. Get away. So.
It's an irritant.
Oh, well, isn't it? Think about it. It's pretty loud. It's pretty loud.
Let's find the lyrics to something like Tears Are Not Enough and try to mean it.
Like try to mean it?
Yeah.
Like just do it?
Like Poem Sand Styles. Let's trade lines and see how far we get. Do you have a device to pull up the lyrics?
Yeah, let me look. Okay.
Lyrics. We're going to try to do, and this is like a cappella karaoke.
Yeah.
Tears Are Not Enough from the start. Do you want to start or do you want to go second?
You go second.
And are we doing it as the people that did it? No, as us.
Well, just we're trying to keep it together, I guess. Yeah. It's karaoke. It's like we're karaoke both together. Taggart and Torrance karaoke, Tears Are Not Enough edition.
But we're just sounding like us, right?
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean? I don't know how to.
Well,
do
we're
it
not
anymore.
Doing like.
Oh no, I know. Well, I mean, I don't.
We're
even,
singing like ourselves.
I don't think we'll make it that far, but yeah.
Okay.
Isn't Gord in the middle or something?
No, he starts.
Oh yeah, so well.
As every day goes by. Who's starting? Hey. Me or you?
Yeah, you got to start. Okay, you ready? Okay. Here we go. We're at the jam. At the jam, everybody. Here we go.
Gotta mean it.
As every day goes by. Oh, how can we close our eyes?
Until we open up our hearts.
We can learn to share.
There's a mod there. Is it because David Foster Show is showing off to get it into the Anne Murray's key? Is that why?
Yeah, maybe.
We can learn to share. It goes up really early.
And show how much we care.
Right from the moment that we start.
It seems like overnight.
We see the world in a different light.
Somehow our innocence is lost.
This is Brian Adams.
How can we look away? 'Cause every single day
we got to help at any cost. Well,
we can bridge the distance. Only we can make the difference.
Don't you know the tears are not enough?
I think we made it all right. Oh, there's French. C'est l'amour qui nous rassemble.
D'ici à l'autre bout du monde. Let's show them Canada still cares. Here comes Getty. Who's doing it?
'Cause you know that we'll be there. That one?
Yeah. Oh, you know that we'll be there. That wasn't bad. Considering that it was a cold one through, can you imagine if on our record we did a cover of Tears Are Not Enough?
It's kind of like the classic of the writers. It's Foster, Brian Adams, Bob Rock, Paul Hyde,
Jim Valance,
Rachel Claire Pament, James Valance, Jimmy Valance, yeah. Back then, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing Brian Adams and then Jim Valance.
They were everywhere. Tears are not enough, bud. It's a good message, and the song holds up.
It does hold up.
Hey, good chatting, bud.
Oh, good chatting, eh, bud? Hey, bud?
Take care, bud.
Bananas are potassium. Bananas are yellow.
Bananas, bananas come in bunches. Sometimes there's tarantulas in them.